Hey, good evening. I'm Bill DeYoung, and this is the Catalyst Sessions. It's Tuesday, and as you probably know, if you've been watching, we're valiantly attempting to keep our arts community connected, and this is show number, I want to say, 28. My guest tonight is Derek Donnelly, who is an artist, a mural artist, a painter, graphic designer, design consultant. And he's also a graduate of the Pinellas County School for the Arts. He and I went to the same high school, albeit many years apart, Gibbs High School, that is. And Derek's dedication to public art is a serious part of this guy's DNA. So I want to say, I'm going to go here and say, there he is, Derek Donnelly. Say hey, man.
Hey, guys. How are you? Hope everyone's well. Yeah, how you doing, Bill? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. What's that behind you? He asked. It's a loaded question. What are we looking at?
What do I have behind me? Oh, a big grouper.
That's one of your Coast Brothers, Chuck. I wrote a story about this week.
Yes. Oh. And thank you very much, by the way. This is actually one of the four sides that I painted for the two different trucks on the Coast Brothers project. So, this one is actually the Bill Wu. Hold on, his camera's back. The Bill Wu. The Bill Wu tribute, more or less, with this one being a spotted corvid, I believe. It was kind of an homage to Bill, my late great friend and mentor. But it's an awesome project through coastbrothers.com. So,
tell me about the origins of that project. It's Stephen Collins, right? And his son.
Stephen.
Apparently, they had approached Bill years ago about doing something like this. Isn't that
right? So basically, all right, so Stephen Collins is actually brother of John Collins, leader of our St. Petersburg Arts Alliance, who's done, helped change this landscape of creative culture here in St. Pete. So I talked to Stephen originally. Stephen said that he was encouraged by one of his brother's Facebook posts to help with something and cultivate some sort of cool project to inspire hope and community, within our region amidst the COVID outbreak and everything. So, they hit me up, and Vitali Brothers as well. I think Vitali Brothers also did two trucks. So John Father and Fam did. I always call him the John Father, Johnny Vitali. They did a couple trucks, and I did two for them as well. So it was a very cool way for a local business to, engage with the community and engage with the arts community at that. And really was kind of more organic and grassroots. It wasn't really like, oh, John Collins, Arts Alliance, them. It was more or less on them. I think, again, he was just inspired by his brother's outcry for support for the arts, on social media. And then, from there, we all got the ball rolling. And I thought it would be a good opportunity to honor Bill Wu with that project. I kind of do a lot anyway, as I mentioned, and you've seen in my post, in your article. I didn't paint too much fish or marine life or that kind of thing until after Wu had passed. It was kind of a way for me to cope, with his loss and, obviously feel a little bit closer to him and that kind of thing. So I still hadn't up to, I mean, other than the giant mural of Bill on the 600 block, since then, I really haven't, had the chance to commemorate him in a proper way. And I feel like this guy might, so.
I don't know if you can see my screen here. I've just shared.
You still see me?
I can still see you. Can you see what I just put up now?
Hopefully. Yeah, I did.
That's the mural that you did of Bill.
Yeah, and the very cool thing about this one, outside of it being, celebratory of Bill and his life and his work, this is, to my knowledge, outside of some of the community projects that they do through the Shine Mural Festival, this is the largest collaboration in Tampa Bay, considering 40 different artists contributed to this wall. I started the night that Bill passed away, painted his
2013.
Actually, it was November 2012.
It was the end of 2012.
I think 26, and we were all, I had my first gallery, St. Paint Arts, on 600 block there on the 6th Street side. the infamous Wig Villa wall. Still desperately needs a mural there, but that's another talk. So I started, this was actually my first public art mural, a mural in public. Up to that point, I'd only done a couple nurseries and, you know, kids' rooms and stuff like that. My first like big aerosol mural outside of, you know, some few graffiti tags, anything back, you know, when I was a teenager. But yeah, so it was very special to me, obviously, because of Bill. And then really the collaboration between all the people that Wu really influenced and helped touch, you know, throughout his career and elevate through his platforms as well. It was, like I said, the biggest collaboration. If you notice on the left side, going down the left, there, the impression of a coral reef. We had the kids from the community come out on the grand unveiling day and contribute by putting handprints on there. So literally hundreds of people really probably touched that wall. But over, I think it was 42 different artists painted fish to commemorate Bill's life and work around him.
Let's go back to the grouper behind you, because I want to try and show something else here. And Bill, I moved here right after he passed. So I never knew him, but tell me why Bill was so important in the development of, you know, public art in the city, which has really come into its own in the last few years.
I'll be honest. I mean, you know, I don't know about as far as the public art aspect. I feel like, there's definitely, obviously, I mentioned Vitale Brothers, Basque. Basque was a major influence on me when I was one of the only artists I knew of, you know, growing up in Tampa Bay. And, you know, outside of Gary Smith, the guy that used to do all the wrestler stuff, the airbrush guy, a handful of others, but Tess One as well. There was just that small handful. So I really, credit them for, opening that door. But with Bill, it was a little more about the spirit of the creative community, I feel like, and the encouragement that he gave fellow creatives, including myself. You know, I literally wouldn't be here talking to you guys today without Bill, without Bill's influence. So he just really had an open door policy, an open arm type of mentality when it came to in or around with fellow artists and with, local businesses. So that spirit really, really took me. I'll be honest, like you mentioned, I graduated from Gibbs High School, PCCA, amazing program, but I was a little burnout, maybe in more ways than one, on art and other stuff when I was getting out of high school. So I really didn't do much art per se for almost 10 years, about 9 years after high school. I ended up going over to IADT over in Tampa, unaccredited design school, learned some really great things there, met some great people. But outside of that, I really didn't do much art. So, and then, last recession, housing market crashed, everything was crazy. I was just working different jobs. I'd done sales jobs and worked in kitchens and things like that. It was anything to make ends meet. And growing up around here, there wasn't a whole lot of that. So obviously the tourism industry and working in the restaurants and things like that were always a safe bet. But I hadn't created much art. So in 2009, 2010, it started to, the whole economy was going crazy. I lost, the couple jobs or, whatever that I had. So I decided it was time, obviously with a push from my, my very supportive family and my father, my mother, I decided to, make a go for it, and so I started going downtown. I signed up for an arts like festival type of thing where they have, the tents, like more of a market, like we're calling it nowadays. And it was actually outside the Museum of History right there by where the new pier is, obviously. And I met Bill that day along with Aurelius artists, Sebastian Coolidge, Jennifer Chanley, a number of pretty well-known local artists at this point. I met everybody that day. And Bill's first response to me, I believe Macho Man had just passed away, I think maybe the four. And I was, one of my heroes growing up in Tampa Bay and being a wrestling fan. So I was a picture of Macho Man. I remember Bill coming up to me and just being blown away. And at the time, when he first initially came up to me, I was just obviously, shocking that anybody even cares that I'm there. But then I look over to his, you know, set up at his booth. And I mean, there's just people, you know, like flies all over him and all over his stuff. I was like, wow, like this guy, you know, he's a great artist and he really, like, what's his motive for giving a hell about me? You know, like why is he so supportive? Like right off the bat, he doesn't even know me, you know? And, that really stuck with me to this day, you know? So, after that, obviously me and Bill clicked right away. We became good friends. I started painting with him. He'd invite me out. That's what I meant about the open arms and open door thing. He really, invite all of us out to paint with him in front of 400 Beach, in front of Steve Westfall's place. And, you know, in front of Sake Bomb, now Bar 548, we did a lot of stuff there in front of Emerald, inside Emerald Bar, as I say, where a lot of this kind of started, at least with this generation of the artists. So I'd say Bill definitely had a major influence on me, a lot of fellow creatives throughout the Tampa Bay area, but really taught us the ropes as far as just putting yourself out there and believing in yourself, you know, how to properly communicate with people that might want your art and that kind of thing. And I mean, that guy was, I mean, he was just figuring it out himself at the time. So, you know, it was really a surreal experience having, you know, a mentor like that, where that they just, you know, selflessly, continued to pour themselves into, and it showed me like it works, you know, it really works. So since then, I've tried to live life, you know, what would Wu do? And, I try to do the same thing, encourage and elevate local artists, especially those, you know, coming up underneath us. I feel like it's, you know, just, and Wu wouldn't be happy with me unless I did it. So I'm
there's a great community. It sounds corny to say, but there's a great like community spirit, especially with regard to public art. And I know we're talking outside the whole Wu thing at this point, but you have a thing called Public Art Project,
right?
Which is very community based, you know. So you are one of those people who is not only an artist who wants to create and to make a little money if you can, but you want to make your city cooler.
And yeah,
that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you, Derek, because I think that's very, very admirable, you know?
Thank you.
When did you first start doing murals?
So, like I said, I did a couple little nurseries, things like that, but the first public that I did was really that Bill Wu one. So that really segues us right into, you know, Bill Wu maybe being, you know, responsible, at least for this public artist.
You know, okay, I'll go there.
So that was my first. And then that, I feel like that project at that time, I think the State Theater had just got done. Unfortunately, that's just recently been covered. S1 and Pale Horse and Vitali Brothers did the back of the State Theater. A couple months later, Wu Wall. At the time, Sebastian Coolidge was kind of tearing it up as well. He had a couple new murals, the one on side of the Benz, and then that infamous one that was on the front of Freshly Squeezed, now Engine Number 9, that was painted over. But those were, I really, you know, honestly, ins and outs, all arounds. I credit Sebastian a lot for, you know, bringing that, again, this generation of the street art and whatnot to the light, you know, a little bit. Obviously, again, major respect for Basque and Test One. But with us and this generation, the guys that are, you know, a couple years younger than them, Sebastian was also a good friend of Wu. I've seen what that kid was doing, and, you know, he's a few years younger than me. I've seen what he was doing. That was really inspiring. Again, combination with Vitalis, Bass, Test One, everybody. So the day that I got the call that Wu passed away, I was actually over in Busch Gardens working, doing some stagehand stuff, trying to, you know, earn a buck and just, you know, working, you know, obviously, honestly, a dream at that point, working at Busch Gardens, doing some cool creative stuff. But I got the call that night, again, I think it was November 26th, 2012. And I just literally fell to the floor. And it was very, very upsetting, obviously. So I rushed back across the bridge. And I came to my old place, St. Paint Arts, where ended up painting the Wu mural on the side of. I was actually
up at Pinellas Park.
Now we're up here, but the one on 600 block across from Wigville.
Oh, the original one.
We started the mural that night when Wu passed away. with the help, honestly, Christian Thomas, good friend and fellow artist, was really instrumental in making that happen as well. He went out and actually we started painting the portrait. So then I started painting the portrait. We got that situated. And then over the course of the next couple of weeks, you know, we just seen the city's response to it, whether it was the, you know, the city government, the local government, and the mayor's office and those people, the cultural affairs department, everybody really seemed to enjoy it. And we said, you know, honestly, there was something here, you know, for the community. So that showed me, and I feel like showed a lot of St. Pete, the power of the public art, you know, and how it could bring people together and or celebrate something or someone, you know, that influential.
It's, you know, and it's become, again, it sounds a little corny to say it, but I mean, it's kind of become part of the artistic calling card of this community. You know, people right. come, I don't know if people come here just to see the murals, but people come here and many of them know about it and they want to go check this out. You've worked with Shine, obviously.
I've served on the committee a couple of years. We helped with a couple of different community projects with them over the past few years. Shine has been a great way to elevate all the arts, you know, throughout Pinellas County, especially downtown St. Pete.
Well, one of the things I think that's also very cool, and I know you do commercial work too, you know.
Oh yeah.
Even the commercial work in this town is unique, and it's like wow, you know. So it's almost like there's paintings wherever you turn, in a really good way. It's not like going to Disney World or something, you know. Hey, listen, I want to try and show this because if I screw it up, it won't work. So
go ahead.
This should come on, and there probably won't be any sound. So maybe you can tell us what we're looking at.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it was at the time lapse. I don't think there was too much sound with that anyway.
Okay, well, that's perfect then.
Yeah, I can kind of narrate.
Okay, then we're hopefully going to join this in a second because, all right. That, and I don't know where it is. Well, it's a time lapse, and it's not working. So, is it moving? I can't tell.
Are we looking
at a picture?
Yeah, a little choppy, but it's working. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so honestly, Bill, even back to the, you know, the culture, you know, locally here and all that, it was, again, I'm born and raised, you know, St. Petersburg. We didn't have anything to really call our own, I ever felt like, you know. So
yeah,
it was, you know, you go downtown, you go to the pier, see some pelicans, you know, if you had relatives in from out of town. Obviously, you know, we've always had some great museums. The Dolly Museum, MFA, things like that. Even, you know, back when I was a kid, I can remember, I believe Mosey was in St. Pete at one point. And it was very, I even hate saying it, but kind of stagnant. You know, it wasn't a whole lot going on that we could call our own. You know, and I think that the mural arts has helped really show the entire community, bring to light all the arts. You know, I feel like it helped. It was easily digestible by the masses. You know, you don't have to feel stupid looking at a mural because you don't understand art, you know, type thing. It was really that mass appeal type of thing. And, you know, people at that point, you know, up till, you know, 2012, hadn't seen much of that, you know, in or around. I know there was a couple over in Tampa, but most of the stuff you see was only on the internet and that kind of thing. So when they started seeing that kind of stuff in real life, it really did give us community and culture to this area that might not have had a whole lot of that before.
Kind of an identity. You know, another thing is that in many of the mural artists that I've spoken to, I hope this video is showing, I'm looking at it.
It looks good, yeah.
Many of the artists that I've spoken to, you know, they like it when people will stop and talk with them and watch them. There's a little bit of performance in this, isn't there?
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially, yeah, doing the large scale, you know, stuff out in the public. It's
if you screw up, it's like you can't throw the can or the brush down and just start cursing, I guess. Because you're kind of on, right?
Well, I don't know. If you know me.
Oh, well, no, I've heard about you there.
Yeah, no, every once in a while. small, but no, it's always in the name of the passion for the culture. But the, yeah, no, overall it's funny because we do get a lot of visitors and different people that, you know, come out when we're doing this kind of stuff. And I always get people that are like, oh, we don't want to bother you. And I, it's funny to me because like, I honestly can't do it without that kind of support. You know, I get bored out there, man. It's it's lonely out there sometimes, you know? So, I love people coming by. So future reference, anyone ever wants to swing by while I'm out working on something, don't feel like you're bothering me. If for some reason I'm behind on the project or whatever, and I'm short with you, I apologize. It usually doesn't happen, but, you know, every once in a while I do have to, you know, get to work, but for the most part, man, I love people stopping by, and it really gives me, you know, the gas that I need to keep the machine rolling, you know?
How many murals would you say you have up at St. Petersburg right now? I mean, can you?
I need to sit down one day and count them. A couple dozen, probably, I'd say, at least. I know I have a mural almost every block from Beach Drive until 11, maybe the roundabout. almost. Yeah, so Beach Drive, first, second is no. I actually starts back up on 4th Street with the galley. I've got the one on the side of the galley and the whole.
Oh, yeah. See, I've seen so many of them. Now you're talking about, I'm going, oh, that's yours. When I was looking
at
the pictures, that's Derek's too. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I've got them all along that alley, you know, all along that alley in between 1st Avenue North and Central. Again, it started, you know, on the legendary 600 block there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was fortunate enough to be one of the only ones that have, you know, something in public right on Beach Drive. And then, like I said, from 4th Street and almost every alley, you know, along that strip all the way up until the roundabout, even a little further, I've got stuff all over. Residences. Offices, things like that, you know, so there's a lot of interior stuff that people may never see as well, because it's, you know, a personal residence or a business or something, but
yeah,
quite a few.
This is the one that I mentioned to you earlier. The first, I knew this was actually even before we'd moved back here. St. Pete's my hometown. Well, we were gone for many years, and I happen to keep turtles. It's a hobby of mine. And I remember visiting, this is Fins and Skins, I think it's called, up on 49th Street in Dulles Park. And I remember going to this place and standing and looking at this thing, going, oh my God, this is so cool. I like the mural better than the store, but that's another story. I don't even know if they're still open, are they?
I believe, I'm not sure at this moment right now with everything going on, but they were still operating. My buddy Joe runs the place.
Don't tell him I said I didn't like his store.
No, it's...
I don't do the turtle thing anymore.
They don't have enough stuff for the turtles. It wouldn't be for you, you know? he's seen a lot of the stuff that was happening downtown with myself and you know, everybody else, and, you know, wanted to hire me to do something. So I believe we finished that one. I believe it was a little over 5 years ago, maybe six. And that one's starting.
We came back in 2014 and it was here then. Certainly. Okay.
The hell, maybe seven. It started a bit, you know, a little bit, I'd say, but, you know, it's kind of the nature of this work. It's, you know, semi-permanent. I don't like to say temporary. I like to, you know, refer to it as semi-permanent. So, you know, it's one of those things where obviously every building needs a fresh coat of paint every, you know, 5 to 10 years for the most part. So, it's one of those things. A lot of times people ask me how long this stuff will last.
Yeah. And let me ask you that, Derek. How long will this stuff last? That's a good question.
Depends. That's the Woo mural is a couple years older than Fins and Skins and isn't really faded much at all. And to be honest, well, that's because of the direction that it faced. You know, those north facing walls, they don't get too much direct sunlight. The sun doesn't beat them up as well. The south facing walls, a little bit more so. There are protective coatings and things like that that you can get. Yeah. But in general, I really don't do too much of that because, again, by the time it's 5-6 years later, maybe it's time to support the artist again, and or, you know, freshen it up and get something. You know, a lot of times it's time to get something new. I mean, I know even the Shine Mural Festival, you know, I believe that their contracts are very much just like a 1 year type thing. You know, like the people just keep it up for 1 year, possibly longer. You know, a lot of those first are still around, but they don't expect people to keep them up for forever. You know, as much as I'd like that, it's still, I don't know, the change is nice. And you know, our talents change too. You know, I've gotten, you know, a lot more experience since my first few murals. So like,
Well, also, you know, as we've noted in the Catalyst and in other places, sometimes somebody puts a building in front of them.
Or, oh, yeah.
You know, pass the paint over the wall because, yeah, that's happening. Like, what are we looking at here? I think this is cool. This is indicative of a lot of your, maybe your canvas work and your smaller scale stuff too, which I saw on your website. But what is this?
This is actually, so Smith & Associates on Beach Drive. They've got offices all over the Bay Area. They've been, hell, I think they've been around 70, 80 years, if not longer. Smith & Associates, amazing company. Bob and Drew Glasser actually hired me to do this. So they were the ones that were selling the condos for One St. Petersburg. They needed or wanted something, you know, along the side of that wall there on Beach Drive to kind of, you know, obviously celebrate the area, but serve as kind of a welcome to people that might be coming to inquire about a condo or about, you know, getting a place at one. And again, obviously wanted to just contribute to the arts. I know they've been art supporters. You know, Bob Glasser has been an art supporter for years. I know he works closely with a lot of other artists. So yeah, that was really the goal with this. As far as the imagery goes, so to the left of this is a giant like postcard design. It's got Welcome to St. Pete or Greeting.
Oh yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. Pete, banyan tree, the Tony Janus plane, a couple palm trees, some sailboats, like all kinds of, you know, things that just scream Tampa Bay or St. Pete for that matter.
Let me ask you a question. Let me stop you there. When you get, you know, a contract like this, we want you to do this, Derek. Do they have to approve your sketches or your ideas? Or are they saying, no, we think she should have square sunglasses? I mean, I'm wondering about that. How free are you to just say, this is what I'm doing?
It really depends on the client. You know, sometimes people have a vision and, you know, a design already in their heads or something like that. So I tell people when I meet with them, you know, I'm either, you know, kind of a hired gun. You have something you want done, you know, a sign, whatever it may be, even if it's, you know, boring corporate day work for me, it's still better than sitting in any office. Still just out there painting a sign or something. So it's really, with Smith and Associates and that project, honestly, they gave me pretty free range. You know, they knew the vibe that they wanted, which was, you know, something celebrating, you know, some of the indigenous creatures and the horticulture and different things from around St. Pete. But outside of that, you know, I showed them the basic sketch for the postcard. And then I had this, piece of wall just blank. And honestly, I wasn't sure what the heck I was going to do with it until I started it. So I was like, you know what, I want to go back to kind of what I enjoy doing for this section of the mural. Not that I don't enjoy, you know, the scenery and stuff, but I've always been more of a portrait artist. So I got this really awesome picture of my niece, really epitomizes her spirit and obviously the St. Pete spirit as well. She's holding, she's got glasses on her face that are actually my father's, her grandfather. And I took actually a sunset picture that my father took. He always loves those glorious sunset pictures. I took a picture of that he took and, you know, imposed it into the sunglasses.
It's almost like a pencil sketch that kind of jumps at you. That's what I like.
I like the timeless look of that black and white portraiture. I mean, even, you know, I did a Notorious B.I.G. on the back of Central Cycling earlier this year with Leo Gomez. I love doing the monochromatic portraits, but it obviously needed some color. So I thought, you know, in the sunglasses, we'd have this nuclear sky, and it really, again, kind of, you know, epitomizes the spirit and the sunset vibe here of St. Pete and the Sunshine City.
Well, that's what I love so much about this kind of work, in that, you know, it serves a purpose, whether you got a corporate client or you're promoting something in the city, but it's still like a creative endeavor. There's still like an artistic spirit behind it. When you just said the color just pops out of these glasses, you know.
For the record, I mean, this is one, again, like I didn't know what I was doing with this until I started it. So this is a great example of something that was kind of spur of the moment, the heart of the creativity, and not dictated or driven by any other agenda outside of making people smile when they look at it. So for the record, I am looking to do much more of like those kid type of portraits with some sort of surreal element to them. So yeah, if anybody's ever interested in doing
This is the time in our show when we plug your Instagram, which is Saint Paint Arts. Paint Arts. And you have a website. So we're looking for Saint Paint Arts. That's your Facebook as well.
Yeah, that's my Facebook and Instagram. Website's a little outdated, but you could go to saintpaintarts.com as well. I recommend definitely sticking to the Instagram or Facebook.
Yeah.
Nowadays people are on those sites all day, every day anyway. So I've found less and less value of having an actual website for myself. Not to say I won't be updating that and, you know, giving it its own store and doing some things that I definitely have works, but I'll always kind of refer people to my Instagram and my Facebook, because not only are you getting, you know, the art itself, but you know, a little more personal interaction with me and or any artist for that matter, you know. So
yeah,
it's very important to you know, understand the person that's creating the stuff and be able to put a face or, you know, an identity to them as much as that work, you know.
That's part of the whole St. Pete aesthetic these days.
Right.
And if I may come around, one of the reasons we're doing these shows to remind you that there's so much great, amazing talent in this city, and everybody is dedicated to making the city just a little better and a little cooler. Right. We all do our little bits and then they stack up and suddenly everybody wants to come here. We're not going to let them all come here, folks, because we don't want to ruin it. But you know what? It's nice.
The secret's out, though, Bill. Yeah, the secret's out. And to answer your question, people travel here specifically for the murals, you know. And I know that was, you know, whether some of the locals, including myself, you know, understood it at the beginning or not. But with the Shine Festival, that really helped shine, you know, hell, even a global spotlight, let alone a national one, on our area with the arts, you know. So, you know, it's done its job and done an amazing job bringing, you know, different artists of all levels and all different styles together under, you know, in one big outdoor gallery that we now have here in St. Pete.
What I love is that it gets better every year. I mean, you know, the more people come in from different parts of the world to work Shine, it's you know, it's a great week. You know, I get to go out and talk to them as they're working, and you know, hey, most of them are usually, oh, hey, what's up? You know, and then they're gone, but the work remains, and it's a beautiful thing. We are out of time. Derek Donnelly, thank you so much.
No, thank you guys, Bill. I appreciate you guys. Yes, it again epitomizes the spirit of our beautiful Sunshine City, and I couldn't be happier to be here with you guys and doing this. So.
We're all here for the same purpose. Tomorrow on the Catalyst Sessions, we'll be talking with Kristen Shepherd from the Museum of Fine Arts. Find out what they're up to in these dark, weird times.
Right.
Well, Derek, hey, thanks a lot, man. And continued good luck to you.
For sure. All right. Yeah, you too, buddy. Thanks.
We'll see you out on the walls, man. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Have a good one.
You too.